their dreams and continue to play college basketball on an elite level. He's coached many great players, and we're looking forward to having him on to talk about his career and talk about this Alabama this basketball program and where it could be going under Avery Johnson. Okay, Coach Myers, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
No problem, Coach. We thank you for joining us. And my listeners are really looking forward to hearing from you and just kind of talk about your career and how you got to this point at Elevate and kind of the journey you've been on as a coach.
Gotcha. I've been really fortunate, right, to coach a lot of really good players. And started with my first team at Hargrave. I was Coach Jordan Crawford and Mike Scott that both played in the NBA, and then we had 33 guys when I was an assistant that all went Division I in 3 years, and then continued at Radford University for 2 years as an assistant. And I was at Massanutten, and I had the group, I guess the last group I had with Frank Mason and DeAndre Burnett and DeMonte Dodd, and ended up having 9 guys go high major. And then obviously taking the job in South Florida has been tremendous. We had, you know, another team this year with 10 Division I players and 6 high majors, and a lot of guys that actually went to the SEC. So I've been fortunate. It makes you a better coach when you got good players, right?
No doubt, Coach. And kind of talk about your journey also. I know you played on the college level, and then you worked your way up as an assistant, but you've also coached on the college level.
Yeah, you know, I was one of those guys. I wasn't the most athletic guy in the gym, so I had to work really hard. And I actually prepped myself. I went to Hargrave for a year, and I played 4 years at a Division II school, Shepherd University, and then got into coaching, you know. And, you know, when I coached at Radford, it was a great experience for me. We got a chance to play at Duke, Louisville, and Kansas 1 year, and at Florida. And, you know, it was a year after they went to the NCAA tournament and had some good players. So it gives me great experience, I think, for these guys, you know, to kind of give them an idea of what they're going to get when they get to the Division I level too, not only just being at the prep school level, but the next step that they'll take in their life as well.
Yeah, you're able to kind of relate to them, and they're on a – they're obviously playing on the highest level of college basketball, but you've been along some of the same journeys and the same path, and I know it helps you relate to your players.
100%. You know, and I try to give them the truth, right? You know, and they got to realize that everybody turns on the TV and sees these guys play, you know, 30 to 35 games, and it looks great, but it's the extra work you put in every day. It's the 6 a.m. weights that these guys have and getting to study halls at night and getting off a charter flight from an SEC game and then going to class the next day. And I was, you know, that's real, not just your 48-hour visit. And we try to prepare them here, you know, so they're ready to play when they get to their next step, hopefully when they leave.
And obviously this past year was your first year at Elevate. You guys had a lot of success, 25-4 record. And I know you had an excellent basketball team, and I know Kobe Eubanks played a big part in that. But just kind of talk about your team this year and how they played.
Yeah, you know, I thought we did a great job this year of sharing the basketball, which is always a challenge. I try to, I guess it's what, you know, Kentucky has done, right? They've taken guys that are there for a year.
Right.
I think one of the biggest things that people don't realize is that, yes, they're great players, all that stuff, but you know, they were all the man before they got there. They were all good in their high school situations before they got to us. So I thought our group did a good job of actually sharing the basketball and not taking, you know, bad shots and playing for each other, whether that's, you know, pass, making an extra pass, whether that's, you know, stepping over and taking a charge, all the stuff that they don't have to do before they get here. And, you know, we had a very talented team. I mean, JT Escobar was our point guard, went to Ole Miss. Obviously, Kobe's going to Alabama at the 2. We had a kid, Jamal Gregory, going to South Carolina at the 3, and then Leroy Butts going to Rhode Island at the 4, and Jan Kubasima was going to St. John's at the 5, was our starting 5, and then Trayvon Reed was here first semester, which, you know, was at Auburn second semester last year. So I think it was, you know, those guys did a great job of playing against each other, but I think it also helps them prepare for college because they play against other really good players every day, and they learn to play with guys that can play and, you know, not take a shot with 2 guys on them and make the extra pass and what everybody tries to tell them to do when they get to college, right?
Right, and obviously Elevate is almost a post-high school type prep school. Talk about the competition you guys play against on every year. Yeah, I know this is your first year there, but you've also been on that level at Hargrave and obviously at Massanutten in Virginia.
Yeah, I think it prepares them because they play against older guys. You know, we try to play other prep schools that are nationally ranked. We played junior colleges, you know, obviously, if we can. So we played some of the Florida JUCOs. Then played St. Thomas More in Connecticut, and we played Hargrave. And we actually played an exhibition game with Oak Hill at the beginning of the year. So we try to play the best possible schedule that we can. You know, I think it does a couple of things. Obviously, teach them you got to play every night, but then on top of that, the guys learn how to, you know, manage their time. You know, travel on the road and do shoot around and be prepared for a game and, you know, get back the next day and have to go to class. And I think that's one of the biggest things that's a misconception. You know, it's, in prep school, you know, it's, you're almost living a college life. You know, should we probably play more road games than they do even when they get to the SEC? So they learn how to, you know, take care of their business while they're on the road and obviously finish their classwork besides just all the basketball stuff. So.
And obviously with Kobe, he had signed in 2014 with Baylor, but then ended up at Elevate to, you know, get some academic work done. Just talk about his journey on and off the court and what he meant to your program.
You know, it was actually a pleasant surprise to the coach. They were trying to get him eligible at Baylor, and they thought it was going to happen, and there was some moving parts and all that stuff. And when he came here, you know, we were obviously pleased, but he came here just being a shooter. You know, that was kind of his role that everybody said, oh, this is 6'5" guy that can really, really shoot the basketball and has an unbelievable range. And, you know, throughout the year, I think he just became such a better basketball player, whether it was passing the ball. He learned, you know, to post a little bit because he is 6'5", and he's 210, 215. And he can, you know, if he gets a smaller guard on him, then he's got to be able to go inside and score. And, you know, he learned to play off the dribble a little bit, play in ball screens with the ball in his hands. And obviously defensively, I think he got a lot better too, and rebounding the basketball. So I think his game just increased, you know, drastically throughout the year as a whole. You know, I think he's always going to be a great shooter. He's always going to be known for that. But he learned to do a lot of other things, you know, which is obviously going to translate to the next level. And I think will help him, you know, contribute right away at Alabama, you know, being able to score the basketball and doing other things to help them win.
He really will. And obviously you had a very talented lineup. As you said, you had five D1 guys in your lineup. But as far as – and so obviously you're trying to share the ball. You're going to have a balanced scoring attack. But what were – I know you don't have him probably in front of you, but what did Kobe average for you, and what did he shoot for your basketball team?
Yeah, you know, I think he was actually around 24 a game, and I think he had like – I think it was like 6 rebounds, 3 or 4 assists. You know, he was our guy, you know, late – you know, after the first couple games, and we went to him. He scored in bunches for us. I can just remember he had a huge game against New Hampton, which has, you know, 8-9 Division I players, and he had 37 points, kind of put us on his back in a big showcase game early in the year, and did that kind of throughout the year. You know, he can really score in different, you know, ways that he's a really big mismatch problem, you know, at this level and the next level. And, you know, I just thought he did a lot, and then he got better as, you know, as the season progressed. You know, he started having really big games. Guys started double-teaming him. He started being patient, knowing where to catch the ball and where to get shots and using screens better and all that kind of stuff. But he was no doubt, with all the talent we had, he was our guy on the offensive end that made a lot of big plays and a lot of big shots for us, for sure.
And obviously he was a heavily recruited athlete, and it was a little bit different process for him with Avery Johnson taking over late in the spring and coming from the NBA to take the job at Alabama. But, you know, coaching and recruiting is about relationships. Obviously, Kobe had a connection, and I believe Bob Simon had been recruiting him for the Providence Friars. So what was the connection Kobe had to Alabama?
Yeah, you know, I think that he did know Coach Simon when he was at Providence, you know, and I think they already had a relationship. They recruited him early on, and then I think Kobe just, you know, wanted to go to the SEC, probably ACC, Big 12. And that was kind of where he saw himself as a player. So he decided, you know, that he wasn't going to go to Providence, but obviously Coach Simon had done a great job while he was there, stayed in touch with the kid. And then when, you know, Avery hired him, I think it's intriguing for him because obviously Avery played in the NBA. He was an NBA coach. He has an NBA background. The reality is most of these kids right at this level, they would, you know, potentially want to make money playing basketball one day. And so he's a guy that, you know, relates to the kids. He was a player. You know, he was obviously a really good player. So that's intriguing to him. And then I think, you know, he's kind of going into Alabama with the mindset that he thinks Coach Johnson's going to, you know, bring other really good players along with him and be a start or something special, you know, and try to build something. I think that's what he's excited about, having an opportunity to hopefully, you know, maybe one day win an SEC under Coach Johnson, you know, or definitely make major jumps in their program while he's there.
Yeah, and obviously you've had a chance to speak with Coach Johnson, and as have I, and his energy and enthusiasm is contagious. It's going to be interesting to see his transition and what he brings to the college game. He's obviously spent his entire professional career on the NBA level as a player and then transitioned as a coach. And obviously coaches study other coaches. What are your thoughts on his transitioning to the college game?
You know, I think it's very funny because it used to be everybody, you know, it was like a difference between the NBA and college. And, you know, we ran a ton of NBA stuff even here this year. And, you know, everybody's starting to open up the floor more and let guys play. And you even look at it in college basketball a couple of years ago that everybody was kind of going to the space up four and not playing as many bigs. And then you turn on the TV this year and watch the NBA finals and Golden State and Cleveland don't play a post guy exactly. For half the game, you know, half the time. So I think
right.
his translation will be good. I think, you know, he's a player's coach. I think he's going to be able to motivate those guys. I think he's going to be true with them. I think he's going to be tough on them. But obviously, I think they have a respect for him because of where he's been. You know, he can say, hey, man, I know what it takes to get to the next level. This is what you got to do. This is what I did. This is what other guys have done. And, you know, kids respect that. And obviously his work ethic, you know, so far what I've seen recruiting and, you know, caring about, you know, winning and all that kind of stuff at Alabama, obviously I think it'll fall over onto the court. And a lot of times when your head coach works like that, your players, right, you fall in line. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously Kobe looks to have a bright future at Alabama. They needed a shooter. And obviously one of the big parts of his decision was that Alabama was in the need for wing players. And I think he believes he can come in and start and can be a heavy contributor as a true freshman.
No, 100%. And I think that was, you know, there's a ton of reasons why I think Kobe went there. But I think that was definitely, if not the top of the list, it was right at the top of the list because he wants to go somewhere he can contribute and be a part of something right away that hopefully, you know, he can be successful.
Yes, and obviously you're in a with coaching at Elevate, and you've coached on the prep school level. One thing you have to be good at is you basically have a new team every year, and you have to kind of put the pieces together and kind of talk about what you're building at Elevate. I know it's still a relatively a newer prep school, but it's obviously on the rise.
Yeah, I think that is huge. You know, I guess it's good when you take a job and you got to put a new team together every year because you don't have a lot of guys that are here, right, that you didn't want. I guess that's the one positive that
right.
you can step in and kind of build a little bit quicker. But at the same time, you know, I think you have to build a tradition and get guys to believe in you. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. We have – I think I have a good background of helping guys and all that stuff, and we have a good setup with, you know, Dan and Baker kind of working some of these guys out and being our CEO and, you know, he's trained a lot of pros. And then the reality is we're 1 mile from the beach in South Florida, which is a good setup for these guys as well. But – on top of all that, you know, we have an academic platform. We have we think is the best basketball platform to make them better. And then we have some good funding that obviously allows us to go play in national tournaments, go play in national events, and be able to recruit. And I told people when I first, you know, looked at this job, I wasn't sure because I'm like everybody else, I didn't know what Elevate was. And then when I came down and visited and I saw it, I said, man, I would be crazy not to take this job. And I just think we have a great situation for guys to get better, you know, academically, basketball-wise, in the classroom, all the stuff you need. And it's just like when I'm sure Coach Johnson looked at Alabama, you know, do we have the resources? Do I have the facilities? Do I have the means necessary to be successful against the rest of the SEC? And how do we line up? And obviously he believes that he does, you know, and that's kind of how I thought here is that I'd always been in Virginia and, you know, military prep schools, and I just thought this, you know, situation was very unique, and if not, it was maybe even better, you know, so.
Yeah, and obviously you've also done the Hoop Group Elite. You were the Elite Camp Director since 2013, and it's New Jersey's premier basketball training headquarters. Are you still involved with that? And how is that? Tell the listeners a little bit about your role there.
You know, I was a full time employee, so obviously when I took this job, I had to step down from my position. But I'm still help those guys and. You know, so obviously help with like the events and kind of consult whenever I can and do all that kind of stuff. But I mean, it was very unique. We had a situation where I had to run a camp for 3 weeks during the live period with 2,500 kids that are all trying to reach their dream of becoming college basketball players, right? And that's kind of, you know, I guess that's a lower scale. That's what prep school is. You know, guys are trying to get seen. They're trying to get to the next level. But it helped me. I met so many people that I think helped build, you know, recruiting ties, relationship ties, you know, and whether it was families, whether it was players, whether it was AAU coaches, whether it was high school coaches, you know, whatever it was that, you know, they dealt with me on a daily basis a lot of the time when I was there, and they trusted me and believed in what I was doing there. And then when I got a job, you know, relationships, you know, tend to follow you, you know, if you do a good job with them, and kind of like maybe what happened with Kobe and Coach Simon, right? Like he did a great job with them at Providence, and then he gets the job, obviously, at the spot that he's interested in, and then, you know, he already knew the rest, and now everything fits. So.
And obviously, finally, you've talked about Kobe as a player, and he got better as a post guy, and he expanded his game, got better with his ball handling, and obviously with his playmaking. But just, I guess, the final thing to say, his strength, though, is as a shooter. Alabama's definitely getting someone that can be a big-time scorer of the basketball.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and he had games where he knocked down 6 or 7 threes in games for us, and he has really good range. And then on top of, you know, having great range and being able to hit three, I mean, he's got good size, so he can get it off against, you know, higher-level competition. And, you know, he can extend it out to 25 feet and shoot the ball. And I think that's the one thing, obviously, that everybody thought he was when he got here. And then the other parts will allow him to score in bunches. And if you look at the NBA, like, obviously, James Harden can really, really shoot the basketball. I mean, he can score, but he can also get to the free throw line 12 times a game. And I think that's where he expanded his game, is that, all right, now Kobe gets 3 or 4 threes when he's at Alabama. Now he's got, you know, 9, 12 points. Now he gets 4 or 5 free throws. Now he's at 16. And then a couple of rebounds. That's how you get 20, right, of being able to do it in a bunch of different ways. But I think right away he'll be able to make open shots, and that's a huge thing, I think. In college basketball, NBA, there's not as many guys that knock down open shots as there used to be, you know, and that's a strength that he definitely has.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I know Alabama fans are super excited to get Kobe on the court, I'm sure he's set to enroll very soon at Alabama in July. But what have you guys been working with him, and what has he been working on since completing his season at Elevate?
You know, I think it's the same thing. Obviously, you know, he finished all his academic stuff, and now it's just, you know, being able to play with the ball in your hands, being able to play off the ball screens, being able to, you know, be able to get by somebody and get your own shot at the end of the shot clock. You know, when guys double you, what are you going to do? You know, when you have a guy that gets, you know, chases you off every screen, is not going to allow you to catch and shoot it. You know, you got to be able to put it on the floor 1 or 2 times and, you know, get pull-ups, you know, be able to catch it at the right spot so you can get a shot off, or 1 or 2 dribbles, or, you know, just everything that could possibly hopefully be thrown at him, hope that we prepared him for it, whether it's ball screen defense, whether it's, you know, a guy running at him, whether it's how somebody's going to guard him, and just trying to take his individual game to the next level. And then obviously he'll be able to fit that within the team stuff that Avery will run, you know, while he's there.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, we really appreciate it, Coach Myers, and for you joining us today for about 20 minutes. We know you have it's a very busy time for you in the summer. You're obviously going to be putting together another basketball team for this coming season at Elevate, and we know your program is just going to continue to get better, and we're going to continue to hear about your program. We hope to stay in touch, and we know you're going to continue to put guys in the SEC, and we want to thank you for joining us on Talking Ball. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Coach. That's Coach Chad Myers of Elevate Academy in Delray Beach, Florida. Does such a great job. 25-4 record in his first season at Elevate. They're a new prep school on the scene, but they've done a great job, as he said, competing with the Oak Hills, St. Thomas Moores, played some of the Florida junior colleges. So you're getting Kobe Eubanks post-high school, but he's gotten better. He's been able to get his academics in order. He's ready to go at Alabama. He should be an instant impact contributor. And today on the SEC teleconference, Avery Johnson, really, really excited about his new addition, saying Kobe Eubanks is coming in primed and ready to play. He's hungry and thirsty, so without a doubt. And it looks like they're not done adding. He also went on to reveal that he expects to add one more player, a wing player, before the season, and they're looking at fifth-year transfers. So the next piece could join the team like Kobe in the second summer term in July. I believe that's when Kobe is going to join the squad. He could be here in July, this new addition, or they could wait until the fall term in August. But it looks like Avery Johnson will add another player. They do need another wing, because right now Kobe is really the only pure two they have on the squad. Rhett Nobasahan can play some two, but he's been more known as a point guard or a combo guard during his career. At Alabama, he will be the only senior on the team, a fifth-year senior, until they add this fifth-year transfer. But again, Kobe Eubanks was a need. They needed a shooter. To be honest, he will probably be the best shooter Alabama has had in quite a few years. That was always lacking under Anthony Grant, the ability to consistently make shots. They did have Trevor Lacy for 2 years, but as we all saw when he was at NC State, when he had the reins taken off, he was able to play freely, as Coach Myers said right there, with what he expects of Avery Johnson and his style of coaching. When you let someone offensively have a little freedom, you see what they can do. Trevor Lacy helped take the NC State Wolfpack, of course, to the Elite Eight, the Sweet 16, and they lost in the round of eight, the Wolfpack did, but they had a great season. Then they won two games in the NCAA tournament. Trevor was an all-ACC player, averaged around 17 points per game for the Wolfpack, had a heck of a career in 1 year there, but still he was a high-impact guy. Would have liked to have seen him stay in school, but we can totally understand. He's 24 years old, ready to make a living playing basketball. He would have been the centerpiece of NC State this year. But again, he still had a great season for the Wolfpack. He did his job. He scored the basketball. High basketball IQ. We're very excited for Trevor that he's going to be playing in the Summer Pro League with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So a golden opportunity for him to maybe, you know, be able to make that squad with LeBron James, who has opted out of his contract but expected to re-sign. But you can always use shooters, and that's what Trevor Lacy is. He's a shooter and scorer with a very high basketball IQ that I think he may have to take the road, the longer road, so to speak, to get to the NBA, but still is going to have an opportunity to play professionally. If not in the NBA, then overseas. He's a young guy that we've watched here in the city of Huntsville, watched him grow. He was a big-time star at Butler High School for 4 years, one of the best players to ever come through this city, and just very excited and happy for him for the success he had at NC State and then now what he can hopefully do on the professional level. And I know he's a good friend of also of Audi Huntsville, so we look forward to hopefully talking to Trevor in the future, and we're very excited for him. We're going to go on a break here on Talking Ball here at Audi Huntsville, this beautiful new dealership. And we're going to be back, and we're going to talk to Kobe Eubanks and about his future with Alabama basketball. Stay with us.